I'm Tom Riella, Chair of Theology at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School.
And I'm Justin Costanza, the School President at Montgomery Catholic. And welcome to Water Cooler Catechism. Today's show, we have an opportunity. You know, Tom and I, you and I always seem to find ourselves talking about Catholic schools. So let's talk about Catholic schools again. But in relation to Catholic schools, let's take it out one step. Let's talk about vision. Let's talk about knowledge. And what does the Bible tell us about vision, Tom?
Well, you know, Justin, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "My people perish for lack of vision." And then in Hosea, chapter 4, it says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And so we see in the scripture, it's important to have vision and knowledge. And by that, we don't merely mean temporal knowledge, natural vision. Yes, of course it's that. But it's more than that. It's a spiritual reality, right? Being able to look beyond, you know, the great band Simon and Garfunkel famously said, "The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls," right? Being able to see beyond the merely temporal. And I think that's important for us to keep in mind, because we even see it in the business world where companies lack vision. We see it in the church world where parishes lack vision. We see it in the academic world where Catholic schools, so many closing over the last 30, 40 years. Vision is huge for us to be able to be successful.
You know, vision does play a part in Catholic education, as we're going to talk about today. But, you know, our audience, if you're listening to Water Cooler Catechism, then you are probably somebody who is interested in your faith, interested in instilling your faith in your children or grandchildren, and you probably already invested in this community. And so you have to have some trust that the folks who are working within the community to assist the church and the schools have vision. And so our vision is, as a school leader, where do we want our school to be? You know, we're Montgomery Catholic is celebrating its 148th year. You have to have vision to get that far, but more importantly, as you mentioned, you know, we've gone from 9 million Catholic schools in 1960 to around 2 or less now, 50, 60 years later. And it takes vision to see our way out of what some people might say is the darkness. Now, when we talk about vision, Tom, let's remember, you know, if you're listening, imagine you're driving a car, imagine you're flying a plane in the fog. If you are a parent of a 16-year-old and you put your child behind the wheel and it's foggy outside, you're worried they're not going to know where to go because they will lack vision. You cannot see the obstacles. You cannot see the path ahead. You cannot see what faces you around the turns down the road. Well, that vision applies the same to what we do in church and school each day, each year as we plan. And that vision, you know, I'm a retired, I love to say retired. Does that work? I'm a retired camp director. Even in summer camp or Catholic education, it's all the same. You have to have vision if you want to be viable in the future. And when we talk about the church, we're talking about a 2,000-year-old institution. Takes vision.
Right. And, you know, something that you talk about a lot, you know, as far as like in administration is you have to be able to, in a certain sense, unlike the principal, a principal is concerned with the day-to-day minutia. Hey, so-and-so called out sick today. We need to make sure there's a sub. There's a problem in the lunchroom. Okay. They're putting out a lot of fires. But your position, you have to take the step back. Yeah, you have to be concerned about the day-to-day, but you also have to be concerned about that treasury. You just said 148 years. In a couple of years, 150 years, this school has been around. Holy smoke. That's amazing. It's incredible. But it doesn't happen by accident, right? There's been a lot of things. And I got to say one thing about us. We see a lot of schools around the country right now doing this. They are following the model of Montgomery Catholic, which is a regional Catholic school model. Why? For so many years, we were parochial. Well, how'd that turn out for you folks? All we kept doing was shutting schools. Why? Because we were cannibalizing each other. We weren't pooling our resources. And I think that's an example of vision in the temporal realm, that, as our dear friend Father Driscoll always points out, grace builds on and perfects nature. And that's important. And I think that's a key thing, to see vision, that temporal vision, as tied into the spiritual vision.
And to be able to have vision is a gift. And as you mentioned, you know, those without vision will perish. Well, not just people, but these organizations that we are relying on. And so let's talk specifically about Catholic education and what kind of vision it takes to keep Catholic education alive, and then we'll rope knowledge in. We are famous for saying on this program and others, quoting our shepherd, Archbishop Rohde, he relates our Catholic schools to the monasteries of the modern age. And remember, the monasteries are places where, you know, the scrolls were transcribed, the values and morals were held, and tradition could continue. Well, if our Catholic schools are that, you know, serve that role here in modern times, this is the last place that you're going to find some of those characteristics that we want of a Catholic Christian society. And it takes vision not only to recognize that, but it takes vision to understand how Catholic education will survive in a society that is pushing in the exact opposite direction. We see that all the time. If people joke, kids, if there were students in here right now listening, they would roll their eyes. Oh, Mr. Costanza is talking about social media again, and TikTok is the bane of all evil, right? You know, I don't know, to the adults out there, if you've been on TikTok or even Instagram, you can get on an Instagram Reel. That's a thing, R-E-E-L, Reels on Instagram. And as a 16-year-old boy, you can see just about whatever you want to see. That's a hard reality.
And
that's
as a parent, harsh, as you said, that's scary.
It's scary. Now, what does that have to do with vision? This is what I'm talking about. In Catholic schools, we present a society where we say that that is not okay, that that is not normal, and it's not necessary. It's not necessary to surround ourselves with that digital temptation, with that social power, because that's what we're doing. As an adult, you turn the power over to your child to be influenced by someone. And so the question is, who are you allowing them to be influenced by? Well, you're allowing them to be influenced by TikTok and Instagram. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't want to take my word for it, take society's word for it. What do you call somebody with lots of viewers, lots of likes on Instagram? You call them, are you ready for this, Tom? I don't know if you know. An influencer.
There we go.
They got real creative with the name. An influencer is somebody who has influence. And what are the most famous influencers? Well, they're people who are paid a lot of money to exercise morals and values that you and I in the Catholic Church are not super excited about. That's the best way I know to say it. So what does that have to do with vision? Let's go all the way back. If Montgomery Catholic and Catholic schools are to be the monasteries, we are to hold tight to the values and morals that we want, then we have to know into the future, what is it that we want to hold on to? What are the things around us now that we don't want our kids to embrace?
Right.
And you and I talk about this all the time. Those social implications are enormous. The definitions of what is true, reasonable, acceptable are changing all the time. And so you have to be able to see past what the world says now.
Right.
To be able to see to where we want to get to. Does that make sense?
We're not taking an opinion poll going, Justin, this is not trending now. People don't want to talk about right and wrong. Well, if that were the case, and we were to give into that, you know, kind of like what Archbishop Rohde says, what would be the whole point of the Catholic school, right? I mean, the fact is we are called to be salt and light. We are going to be different. We fully recognize that. And so authentic vision, and again, a lot of what we're saying we could apply to the parish life, right? When people come to the church, they're expecting something, right? They're expecting to be given the faith of the church, not my opinion, not your opinion, but what the church has thought about for 2,000 years. Something that I love in Scripture is what St. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. He says, set your mind on things above, right? Again, that vision, to see beyond the merely here and now. Yes, the here and now is important. Obviously, I'll put what we do here at Montgomery Catholic up against anybody. I mean, our kids go to the best schools. Our kids get some of the top scores. We are amazing. We have amazing talent. But if that's all we're doing this for, then we might as well close up shop, right? No, we go beyond. We set our minds on things above, where Christ is seated in the heavenly places. Therefore, I am able to impact the earth, because why? I have a heavenly vision. That's the key thing. And, you know, again, the temporal realm, Justin is thinking not just 6 months out, he's thinking 5 years out, 10 years out. Heck, he's even thinking heavenly vision, way out, eternity, right? That's what we've got to be thinking. And that's the vision that transforms us and sets us on fire.
You know, if our goal is to create saints, you have to have a heavenly vision. You mentioned 5 years, 10 years down the road. In our role, both in the church and in the school, vision must then include things related to capital expenses, physical building, expanding our school and academic and athletic offerings, widening the breadth of community that we can reach into. And so I'll offer to you this. There are schools that will die because the lack of vision in the future excludes community members. I want to think about that. There will be schools, there will be organizations that will perish, as God says we will, without vision. There will be schools who perish because they do not see into the future to include the community we're called to serve. Let's unpack that real quick. Tom, at Montgomery Catholic, if you walked into a standard classroom right now, you're going to have Catholics and non-Catholics. You're going to have African-American students. You're going to have Hispanic students. You're going to have wealthy. You're going to have those who struggle. You're going to have single family income households. You're going to have single moms. You're going to have dads who stay at home. You're going to have athletes. You're going to have nerds. I love using that word because they use that themselves. They call themselves the nerd herd when they come to fix your computer. You're going to have a little bit of everything at Montgomery Catholic. And that is because the Catholic Church has enough vision to say, we will serve the community. And we will not ask the community who they want us to serve. This is a little touchy, right? So let's be honest. What are we actually saying? I'm agreeing. I think that there are places, schools included, that choose to serve one community over another, that choose to serve one niche over another. And our niche and our community is God's family. Now, do you have to be able to academically survive at Montgomery Catholic? Yes. Is everybody able to do that? No. Do you have to be able to pay to go to school here? Well, everybody has to be able to put some skin in the game, that's for sure. And it's not cheap. Nothing is these days. But you take those two things aside, our school is for you because God calls each of us to heaven with Him. God calls each of us to an eternity with Him. And we're going to do that through the relationship that we form with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that happens every day at Montgomery Catholic. But it won't happen if the school doesn't remain viable and you remain viable with long-term vision.
Archbishop Brody says something that touches exactly on what you just said. We don't teach you because you're Catholic. We teach you because we are Catholic. And being Catholic means universal. It is, as James Joyce, the great writer, said, here comes everybody. That's what Catholicism is. And one of the great things about being at Montgomery Catholic, for example, is the fact that when I look into my students, when I see them in my class, I see a genuine representation of what it means to be a member of the human family. And I love that. That diversity brings a vibrancy to our school community. Why? Because the God who is one is also the God who is three. Unity and diversity is at the heart of being itself. And that's why you mentioned something where a lot of places, they get stuck in their old way of doing things, and then guess what happens? They wind up closing in 10 years. You wind up closing in 15 years. You wind up spending good money after bad money. It just becomes a real problem. Why? Because you've lacked that vision. And speaking of vision, we need to do one of those important station breaks there, Justin.
We do. We'll be right back after a word from all of those who make this possible. And let's talk in the next segment about not just vision, but the power of knowledge.
These count to 11.
And we go 24-7. Archangel Radio, broadcasting 24-7 all that is good, true, and beautiful.
I have two children. One is in high school and one is in elementary school. So I get to see faith come alive through them, and they're at two different stages of their life. But I will say one of the most powerful things I've seen for my children, especially in recent years, has been the opportunity to be in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I think our schools do an amazing job of incorporating adoration into the students' day, teaching them what it is, and just, again, adding that deeper faith component. I mean, there's so many opportunities our children have to grow deeper in their knowledge of Christ and their love of Christ, and it's just been really beautiful to see as a parent.
Your Catholic schools, faith, excellence, service.
Convergence will be back for season 3 in February. Meanwhile, take a listen to Crossword, a new podcast by Michelle McAloon, where she interviews popular Catholic authors about their latest works. That's Crossword every Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Archangel Radio or where you find your favorite podcasts.
Archangel Radio, producing tomorrow's saints today.
You're listening to Archangel Radio on 1410 AM and 94.5 FM in Mobile and Baldwin counties, terrestrial if you're in your car. My preferred way to listen, and I know yours as well, Justin, is on the Archangel Radio app that you can get in your favorite Play Store on your smartphone device. Rumor has it, Justin, I can't confirm this, that we are number one in the Vatican right now. I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but that's what my sources are telling me. But you just get to listen to so many wonderful shows. Archbishop Brody's show, so we have Archbishop Brody on Archangel Radio. We have the live hour with Ellen, Todd, Mike, and the Ripster. You know, they get to talk to all these different people from through our diocese and throughout the church. It's really a great way for us to shrink the diocese. I love what Archbishop Brody says about Archangel Radio. You know, our diocese is a rather large. You know, you think about, you go down to all the way to the Gulf, all the way up to Opelika. I mean, it's pretty big, and to where the nuns in Marbury are. So the diocese covers quite a large amount of territory, and Archangel Radio keeps us small. So, Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5, and on the Play Store app.
All right, in round one, Tom, we talked about vision. Well, let's wrap knowledge into it. Hosea 4, like you mentioned, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, knowledge is power. We've seen it from Schoolhouse Rock all the way to 1980s t-shirts. What, tell us about knowledge. How does that come into play in the conversation we've been having so far?
Well, and I think knowledge and vision go together, right? They are integrated. They are to be integrated. And I think knowledge helps form vision, right? The reason why I think a lot of places lack vision is they lack genuine knowledge. And I don't mean merely information. Information's fine, but it goes beyond that. It's knowing how to put that information together. It's knowing how to synthesize it. I recently had the privilege of going into second grade at Holy Spirit and St. Bede's campuses and talked about the virtues. And I quoted something that Archbishop Brody said once about his great-grandmother, I believe it was. It might have been his grandmother or his great-grandmother, but she only had gotten like a fifth grade education. And of course, this shocked the kids. Wow. And I said, well, back then, it was not uncommon for kids to go to school to fifth grade or sixth grade. But he said that his grandmother was the wisest person he ever met. Why? Because she knew what life was all about. And she took what she knew and she put it into practice. I could have all the knowledge in the world, but if I don't put it into practice, I'm a fool. So this knowledge goes beyond mere information. It's knowing our circumstance. It's knowing our situation. It's learning from the past. It's putting all of that together so now I can apply it, and that provides a kind of vision. Knowledge has an intimacy image in Scripture. Jesus himself says in John chapter 17, Father, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And so knowledge is intimacy. It's not merely informational. It's not merely filling my head, but it's something that transforms me from within. So now I'm able to live my life according to this knowledge, and I have vision.
Can we equate, this is a question to you, Tom, can we equate life experience and knowledge in any way? Because we tell our kids all the time, you know, you learn by doing, you become, you know, we live our faith, we go through tough times, we're better, you know, it's cliche, oh, you come out stronger on the other side. What equates between those life experiences and knowledge in the realm of what you're already talking about?
I say 100%, Justin, yes, you can equate and integrate life experience with the knowledge. In fact, I would argue that one of the problems that we face, for example, let me give you a concrete, as a teacher, there have been times I have been in that classroom where I know I have every student in that room. I know it. I see it. Sometimes students won't give you the benefit of the doubt, or they won't give you that sense that they're listening, but they are. But then there are times when you just know. And there's a connection being made, but then the next day comes, and it's as if that never happened, right? Why? It's because we live these siloed out lives. It's because we don't recognize the integration of everything that I've experienced in my life somehow gets subsumed into my life experience. And so we wind up compartmentalizing everything instead of integrating everything. So that's why the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups, the downs, they all are our teachers. They're not just isolated random episodes in my life, but rather they become a school. And John Paul said this, right? The church is an expert in humanity because we've lived through a lot. You know, during the whole pandemic thing, you said, I never forget when you said this, and I loved it. If I hear the word unprecedented one more time, right? And it was great because you're right. You made the comment, look, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic school president. We've been through this before. We will weather this storm. We will.
Yeah, if you think that what we've been through right now is unprecedented, it might be unprecedented. I've just used the word I like Solis twice in a very short time frame. You know, if you only look in the present, then yeah, we haven't dealt with this right now. Our school 148 years ago was delayed from an August opening to an October opening because of a yellow fever pandemic. Could you imagine being one of the Sisters of Loretto who have just made their way, probably both on foot and in cart in the 1870s from Kentucky to Alabama, and you show up and, oh, by the way, I know it's warm and muggy and humid, but we can't open school because people are dying from yellow fever. Great. We'll put everything on hold. Well, we've put everything on hold, it seems, over the last 2 years. And so let's have a little COVID excerpt here in the program. Life experience influences our knowledge base. And so when we as educators talk about the importance of being in a classroom, when we talk about the importance of experience, the importance of engaging other humans, we are called to be, and we've done this before on this show, we are called to be in communion with others. We are called to live in community, and in that community, we will learn. We gain knowledge through those experiences, and so that's why we have fought as school leaders to not only keep the schools open, but to keep kids in seats in person so that through face-to-face experience, they can learn. We don't learn behind masks, we don't learn behind a TV screen, and we certainly don't learn when we are sitting apart. And so it's time now, even though the threats of the world exist, to move forward out of that darkness. And that is hard because we know that risk still exists. We will never be able to eliminate risk. And if you live life in fear, you lack the knowledge to move forward, and you will never have the vision it takes to move into the future.
And you know, you said earlier, you know, again, about our school and the church itself, this unity and this diversity, you know, the demographic is here comes everybody. That's a form of knowledge, right? That's a form of knowledge. You're learning different people, different backgrounds, different environments, and so you're learning different perspectives, right? That becomes a form of knowledge. And so when you combine this knowledge, and again, the deepest form of that knowledge is what we said already, that intimacy with God, right? But all knowledge, Pope Benedict XVI talks about this in many of his writings, all knowledge is a kind of participation in the knowledge that is God himself, right? Because God knows all things in himself completely, totally. God is self-sufficient being. But I get to participate in the knowledge of God through the various disciplines. I mean, even the name university comes out of, it's not a random name. Now, somebody didn't decide one day and go, hey, what do we call these things where we get higher degrees in? Universities, that's a great name. No, uni one, very truth, all right? There is one truth through all the different things that I learn. And so science and math and religion and literature and history all become this conduit for me to experience God in a deeper, more profound way. That's knowledge.
Tom, I could listen to you talk all day long. Something we said in show prep, there's no such thing as accidental saints.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm going to throw it back at you. I love what you always say to the kids. I love it. I mean, for many years, you know, the goal of what I'm trying to do here, the goal of what I'm trying to do as your, you know, director of youth when you were at Holy Spirit directing the youth, the camp director at YMCA, principal at Montgomery Catholic, president of Montgomery Catholic, my job here is to help you become the best version of yourself, right? That's not going to happen by accident.
You're right. So it takes intentionality. It takes adults like us investing in young people. It takes families saying this is important for my children. And that kind of brings it all back to the experience that you gain at a place like Montgomery Catholic, the experience that you gain when you surround your children. If I'm a parent talking about my kids, you surround your children by faithful. Catholic or not, this is a community that loves our people. We take care of our people. And the reason that we're able to do that is because we are striving to get our young people to heaven. We're trying to make saints out of them. And it's not accidental. It's intentional. And it's intentional through the little things. You know, our first book together is going to be, we're going to break the myths about intentionality and how the small things will get you to heaven. So we'll come up with a title. But Tom, we're, our first book will be about how the little things accomplish the biggest, you know, this heavenly journey.
One of the things that, and I love how you say this, when you hold a kid accountable, when you hold a student accountable, you're showing him the love of God, right? When you say, hey, tuck your shirt in, hey, pick up your garbage, right? Oh, there's Mr. Costanza again. But those become important things in my formation, right? And that is what we talk about when we talk about there are no accidental saints. Just again, like in the temporal realm, champions. You know, Michael Jordan, really? Did anybody practice harder than that guy? Tom Brady, anybody practice harder than that? Is it any surprise that these guys are champions on the field? Well, I think we're doing something that I would like to think they would agree with, a little bit more significant than what they even do. We are trying to help form young men and women to become saints of the Most High God. There's no greater calling. There's no greater vocation.
All right, so I'll spin off that. Here we are in our last 60 seconds or so of the program. You know, let's name drop a little bit. Dabo Swinney, head coach at Clemson University, was here at Montgomery Catholic. And he was so wonderful, so nice, so kind, so gentle. I really enjoyed. You know, Mac Brown and Gene Chizik have been here over the last couple weeks. These are people who are investing in young men. And I bring them up because the example that they shared with me when they met a young man, of course, they're looking for somebody to come and play football at their university, but to be a member of their program. And when we talk about college football, we could talk about processes and another university just up the road. And he'll be here soon enough, don't you worry. But it's the little things that they mentioned as well. You know, when our students had a little bit of facial hair on their chin, or their shirt tail was untucked, or they noticed that, you know, hey, you're wearing nice pants but not nice shoes. Hey, you're meeting a football coach. Why are these even parts of the conversation? They're parts of the conversation because they know that the little things matter. How you present yourself matters. How you form yourself and choose to move forward matters. The last thing I'll share, Dabo said, you know, they provide as a uniform, this is not a benefit, so it's legal, as a uniform, they provide a suit to every one of their players. Because when they board the bus and travel, they travel in suits because they want to feel the professionalism that they're asking their young athletes to exude both on and off the field. We're asking that of our people. We're asking that of our families. We're asking that of our students. We want to embrace not only the Catholic culture and the Catholic faith, but we want to help people become the best versions of themselves. And so right here on Archangel Radio and Water Cooler Catechism, Tom and I, you and I have gotten to talk a little bit about how faith and vision in that faith combined with the knowledge and the power of truth will lead us where God wants us to be. Not where we want to be, but where God wants us to be.